It is Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. And joining us right now is the Bishop of Buffalo, Richard Malone. Bishop Malone, thank you very much for joining us once again. Very much appreciated.
Good evening. Happy to join you. Thank you.
Bishop Malone, this week, the Vatican blocked U.S. bishops from voting on a new code of conduct, and there was a provision that would allow basically a commission of lay experts to review complaints against other bishops. Under church law, only the Pope can investigate and discipline bishops. What do you make of that ruling?
Well, it will still be only the Pope who can make a final decision on bishops. But this whole meeting this week was really meant to focus on accountability for bishops. For example, the tragic situation of the Archbishop McCarrick case, which shocked everybody, that he had abused a minor at one point when he was a priest in New York, and then apparently had abused, we know, seminarians and priests over all that, and kept getting promoted even to the rank of cardinal. So that kind of triggered this whole look at how do we have standards of accountability for bishops. And, of course, we were rather dismayed when the meeting began, and Cardinal DiNardo, who's our president, said he had just heard from the Vatican that we were not to take any votes on these things this week. But nonetheless, we had all week long very, very robust discussion. We couldn't do the votes, but we had robust discussion that I just left 10 minutes ago, a day of it. So we made a lot of progress.
Were you also in any way, shape, or form dismayed by the statements made by the Pope today about bearing false witness and gossip being the same as terrorism? I mean, here we've got this massive scandal which is rocking the church in the United States. Do you believe that the timing of the Pope's statement was a bit awkward, that he should have had a different topic?
Well, to tell you the truth, guys, that's the first time we've been in meetings since about 7 this morning, and I had not heard the Pope had said that. He has said that before. One time a few years back, there was a conversation with the Pope about terrorism in the world. And, he's great for these little quips he makes. And he made the comment that at the Vatican, the worst kind of terrorism is gossip and rumor. But I didn't hear him say that today.
Well, he did say it today, and I'll change the question to, wouldn't a statement directly from the Pope when all you bishops are meeting have been appropriate? I mean, what kind of guidance are you, in fact, getting from the Holy Father in Rome?
Well, of course, you've got to remember that the Pope is looking not just at the U.S. church, but he's looking at the global church. So I don't know what would have triggered him to make that comment. But he's taking this very seriously, as you know. The problem, sadly, of sexual abuse in the church is global. We think of it in terms of Buffalo and the United States, but it's global. We know it involves Germany and Chile and Ireland and Australia and other places. So, and I think that's probably, this is just a hunch, because I don't have the hotline to the Pope, that's for sure. But I have a feeling the reason that the Vatican didn't want us to take our own American votes on these action steps is because they want to look at this in February as a global challenge and maybe come up with something that's a universal protocol that all the bishops in the world would follow.
Bishop,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I just wanted to ask you, this week presented itself a real opportunity for bishops across the United States to show leadership and go forward. And it almost seems like that opportunity was taken away by the Vatican. Do you get the feeling when you talk to your peers that this was a real wasted opportunity to at least together as a fellowship come together and say, listen, this is where we're at. This is where our heart is. And this is the accountability we want.
And you know, we did exactly those things you're saying. We stopped short of voting on those action items. But the conversation the whole time, except for a couple of other items, we had to take some time to endorse a very important letter condemning racism we've been working on for a couple of years. But almost all the rest of the time was exactly the kind of conversation and debate we wanted to have to confront this need. See, with the charter, which you guys know about, the Charter for the Protection of Children and Young People, that holds priests and deacons accountable. Okay? But it has never held bishops accountable, and we know we need to be held accountable as well. So stopping short of voting, which the Vatican told us we shouldn't do right now, I think we accomplished a lot of very hopeful direction in terms of moving forward. It was very strong.
But Bishop Malone, by voting on it, it would have solidified it. What I'm saying is that without voting for it, how can it be meaningful?
Because you could, if you were in the room, you could sense the commitment of the bishops to this. If you had a chance to see any, it was live streamed, any of it, the whole day long was very focused, very challenging interventions about how we have to have these things. We have to have third-party reporting. So people, if a bishop has abused and someone knows that, they can do that in a way that's independent of the church. A special commission, as you mentioned, to review complaints, all these kinds of things. And it's a very important thing. Of course, the Pope is calling together the presidents who, of all the bishops' conferences of the world, February 21st, and the whole theme is the protection of young people, of minors. So we really did make progress, even though I wish we could have voted.
Bishop, before you came on, we heard from a disgruntled member of your flock who asked, well, how can the bishop expect to lead when nobody is following him? I'm going to take liberties with the question and ask you, what have you personally done since last we spoke to increase transparency in the diocese in Buffalo?
Well, shortly after we met, I had meetings with all of my priests. I had meetings with the permanent deacons, their wives, with directors of religious ed, school principals, and youth ministers. And we've been doing a number of things like that where I've been able to put out some information and then have a lot of Q&A. And I had to stand there, which was the right thing to do, and take some pretty strong criticism from some of the folks. And that's part of my responsibility. When people think I haven't done some things the way I ought to have done them, I need to be accountable for that. But also, I must say, there continues to be, thanks be to God, a lot of expressions of support. Just my office just this week has had all kinds of, I'm told, I've been in Baltimore for 5 days, but all kinds of expressions of prayer and support. I think we'll be able to turn a corner. The key is transparency and accountability, and I am committing myself to that.
Bishop Malone, can you tell us at this point whether anything has changed since last we met with respect to the cooperation between the Diocese of Buffalo and the civil authorities in law enforcement? Have there been any meetings? Has there been any powwows regarding possible criminal complaints in cases where the statute of limitations has not expired?
I am not sure exactly where that is. I know I've not been involved in those conversations. Perhaps others of my staff have. I had to be here a week ago. What's today? I had to be here last Friday for various committee meetings before the general meeting began on Monday. But we know, of course, the subpoena that's been presented, and I'm sure work is going ahead on that. We have had for many years a memorandum of understanding with the various district attorneys of Western New York, of all the counties of our diocese, committing ourselves to presenting offenses or claims that come in that are prosecutable to them, and that's just recently been renewed. So there's a good openness and a good, I think, agreement. We want to do the right thing as far as reporting.
Well, you know, there are, of course, many other things going on in the church, and I'm gonna give you the softball lob. Your takeaway as Bishop of Buffalo of the thing that has taken place at the bishops' get-together that will have the greatest impact on Catholics in Buffalo. Is there anything specifically?
Well, I think one so there'll be a lot of things, but I think number one is we had a lot of conversation yesterday about how we need to have more effective ways of responding to allegations of clerical misconduct with adults. Once again, we have that when it comes to children. We've had it since 2002, but we have not had a protocol, and you guys have heard me talk about that before, for we obviously we have a code of conduct that tells us things people should not do, but not really a detailed protocol as we have with complaints against priests or deacons who have abused children. We have not had that with adults, so we've kind of tried to find our way on that. But there's been a strong commitment that that's going to be one of our projects too. As the U.S. bishops, as we move forward. So I found that encouraging, and I think that can improve the way we handle those kinds of complaints.
Bishop, is there a time frame on that when people might expect to see a policy codified?
I'm not sure. You never. Sometimes things, work will begin on it, I'm sure, right away. But I'm not going to wait for the USCCB to generate that protocol. I've already established a few weeks back, a task force entirely made up of laity with various competencies whose charge will be to develop such a protocol. So when we get an allegation that a priest or a deacon has abused an adult, we will immediately be able to engage that protocol and not try to find our way, with each case. That's where it gets can get followed up.
Bishop Malone, in any way, shape, or form, did you or the other bishops feel as though you were kind of thrown under the bus by Rome by not allowing the vote?
We were not going to be allowed to vote. Now, we don't know whether that decision came directly from Pope Francis or from one of the other offices of the Vatican. Most people think it was not directly from the Pope, but I'm not at that level that I know things like that.
But Bishop Malone, what would be the practical reason?
We were all dismayed by it, at least most everybody I knew.
What would be the practical reason, especially the Vatican is well aware how many bishops like yourself in other cities of pressure, not only from the media, but members of the Catholic Church. What would be the real reason that the Vatican would not want a vote? Is it because they're still trying to come up with the best way forward, and they're just not confident that?
Well, this is just a guess, but as I think I mentioned briefly, my hunch is that the Pope wants to, because it's a global situation that affects countries all around the world, that he wants to make a very high-level effort and having the policies and protocols that every single country will be obliged to follow. See, many countries do not even have the charter for the protection of children and young people that we have in this country. And they've been trying to promote that in other countries. So I think that's probably what it's about. Hopefully we'll get some clarification on that soon.
Bishop,
but then it will happen.
Bishop Malone, can I just ask, are you confident that if the U.S. bishops are allowed to control their own destiny and set up safeguard parameters to protect everyone involved in this crisis, that within 5 years we're talking about this this in the past and there are no more future allegations of abuse?
That's my hope and my prayer and my intention. Of course, we who are Christians believe in the reality of sin, so we can do everything we can. We can put in place the conditions for the possibility of doing much better with all of this, but who can ever guarantee in the church or in the society that there won't be more tragic instances of abuse? We can do everything we can with preventive measures, with training, with handling allegations properly, and just hope that this makes this go away.
Bishop Malone, one of our listeners brought up the subject again of homosexual pedophile priests, and as I recall, the last time you were on the show, the track record of the Diocese of Buffalo over the last 20 years has been excellent. I believe, did you not tell us that there were no documented or verifiable cases of homosexual pedophilia priests within the last 20 years of ordinations?
Well, I didn't say anything about whether they were homosexual pedophile priests. Well, what I did say, I don't know the answer to that question. I do know that we have no priest ordained in the past 20 years has been accused of abuse of any kind. And in the pretty much the past 20 years, there have been only three allegations of abuse that happened during this time period. So, there is progress being made because of the Dallas Charter and those kinds of things. But we have to continue to be very vigilant on all of this. There's no question about it.
And if given the chance to verify everything you just said, or to comfort or reassure your flock, you would say that they can feel confident and comfortable with the information you gave us last time.
Now, I don't recall everything I said, but I'm not a guy who's going to avoid the truth. I want to be open, candid, and truthful. And I'll assure you again, because there are still some people out there who will say that I am not telling the truth when I say that I have not ever kept in ministry any priest intentionally or knowingly whom I knew had a substantiated allegation of abuse of a child, of a minor.
Mm-hmm.
That's the case. I'd be happy to go on the polygraph on that.
Bishop Malone, if you ever want to gauge the morale of the troops, sometimes you have to talk to the leaders and find out where their morale's at. If you were to gauge the morale of U.S. bishops today, where is the morale?
Well, you know what? It changed in some ways from Monday until today, when we got the word that we were not allowed to vote, because we were chomping at the bit to be able to vote, to discuss, the discussion was wonderful this week. We ended up, I think, the Cardinal said this, with a feeling of hope going forward. But we started off kind of, as I say, disappointed and dismayed, and some of the brother bishops were angry that we weren't allowed to vote. But I do think that we made some significant progress, and we're ready to move forward.
Was there any sense that it was nothing but spin, the idea that, well, you're having this meeting coming up in February and this is a worldwide problem? Was there any mumbling about this just sounds like a bunch of spin and PR moves?
Not that I heard. These meetings, of course, were all televised and live streamed, and anybody could in the world could watch them. Our people in the diocese knew that they could access the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So people can make that judgment for themselves. But I think if you listen to what the bishops were sharing and the challenges they were putting forth, one of which was a very strong demand that the Cardinal McCarrick situation be looked into very, very carefully, and that any kind of documentation they find about how the heck this guy made it with these allegations against him to such a high post in the church. There was a real strong demand that the Pope has already promised to do that, and apparently they're working on it, as are four dioceses where he had had served. But a very strong call for that information to be forthcoming when that's able to happen.
Well, Bishop Malone, as you well know, and as we've communicated, anytime you want to come on Bowerly and Bellavia and speak with your flock through the medium of our show, you are always welcome to do so, sir.
And I'm very, very grateful for the time you've given me and the questions you've asked.
Bishop Richard Malone, thank you so much, and have a good trip home.
Okay, God bless you. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Bishop Richard Malone of Buffalo joining us on News Radio 930 WBEN.